As mentioned in the great prayer, we ought to be grateful for the blessings of this beautiful day and for the occasion that brings us together this afternoon. We're glad you're here, and I'm thrilled to be with you. Thanks for the good reading from 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. It was Paul's desire for the church of the Thessalonians, the Lord make you to increase. You might highlight that in your Bible. That's what I've come to talk to us about this afternoon. Did you know God wants things to increase? Writing the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul pointed out in verse 6 beginning, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And then in his letter to the saints in Colossae, as recorded in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 19, he penned this statement. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. I searched the scriptures for that word increase and found it in several forms. And would like to call to your attention some things that you and I need to increase. First of all, when you think about this expression, the Lord make you to increase, we would do well to increase our learning. The wise man said in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Is that you? You know very well, I hope, that the book of Proverbs depicts at least two groups of people, the wise and the foolish. One thing that separates those two is learning. Will you increase yours? As measured by your learning, how wise are you? In chapter 9 and verse 9, he went on to say, give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Would you like to increase in learning? Here are some things that will help you do that. One of the things that's necessary if you're going to increase your spiritual learning is you need to increase your gathering. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10, recall these words. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, listen to this, gather me the people together. Why gather the people together? That they may learn. We've got some people in places today who want to decrease the gatherings of the Lord's people. There are churches that used to have Bible study on Sunday morning, worship on Sunday morning, worship on Sunday evening, Bible study on Wednesday night, have a couple of week-long gospel meetings in the spring and fall, and have a summer series. And now they've decreased to just meeting one time on the Lord's Day, just on Sunday morning. And it's about all that some of the members can do to be there for that gathering. How sad. And they wonder why they're not learning, why they're not increasing. If we're going to increase our learning, we don't need to decrease our gathering. We need to increase our gathering. One of the purposes for which the Lord's people gather is that they may learn. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12, gather the people together, men and women and children. Underscore children. Don't leave your children out of this. Recognize that when we gather, children benefit. And he said, thy stranger is within thy gates. Why? That they may learn. Increased gathering promotes increased learning. Did you get a hold of that? A second thing that's necessary, if we're going to increase our learning, we're going to have to increase our hearing. Did you hear that? Deuteronomy 4 and 10 again. He said, gather me the people together, and I'll make them what? Hear my words. Why? That they may learn. no hearing, no learning. Then in chapter 5 and verse 1, if you didn't catch it the first time, maybe this will help. When he said, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may what? Learn them." Why hear? That ye may learn. It's hard to get people to learn when they refuse to hear. And then again in chapter 31 and 12, gather the people together that they may hear and that they may learn. If we're going to increase our learning, we're going to have to increase our hearing. The third thing that will be necessary if we want to increase learning is we need to increase our reading. You remember in Deuteronomy 17, 19, when the fifth book of Moses anticipated the Lord's people having a king over them and how he was to have a copy of the law book with him? The Lord said, "It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." Why read the law book? That he may learn. Why do some people not learn? Because they don't read. To increase your learning, you need to increase your gathering, increase your hearing, and increase your reading. Does that make sense? Let me suggest now some things that we need to learn. First, we need to learn God's statutes. That is, His commandments. As the psalmist expressed in Psalm 119 and in verse 71, he said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Not all affliction is bad. Sometimes affliction is good for us. He said, "That I might learn thy statutes." And then again, two verses later, he said, "Give me understanding that I may learn." Learn what? Thy commandments. It's sad. A lot of people spend their years learning all kinds of things to the neglect of learning God's statutes and commandments. But also, we need to learn to do well. Isaiah called upon the Lord's people to cease to do evil, learn to do well, in Isaiah 1, 16 and 17. We need to learn righteousness. As Isaiah 26 and verse 9 says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn." Learn what? Righteousness. One of the areas in which this world's inhabitants need desperately to learn is when it comes to righteousness. We need to learn of Christ. As Jesus invites in Matthew 11, and in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We need to learn contentment. Do you need to learn that? Paul said, "I have learned." Paul, what have you learned? "In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Philippians 4:11. Most people aren't very content very long. He told Timothy, you recall, having food and raiment. That's something to eat and wear. Let us therewith be content. As you increase your learning, how about learning to show piety at home? As Paul pointed out in Romans, or 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Then one more, if you have time, for increasing learning. How about learning to maintain good works? In Titus 3 and verse 14, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." So as you make your study today concerning increase, how about increasing your learning? Would you do that? A second area where it be our desire, the Lord make you increase, is when it comes to increasing strength. Have you become so strong spiritually that you don't need to increase your strength? in Proverbs 24 and in verse 5, why Solomon said, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth what? Strength. How wise are you? God has always appealed to his people to be strong. I recall when Moses passed from the scene and Joshua succeeded him in leadership of his people. Among the outstanding things he had to say to him was to be strong. Remember that in Joshua 1? In verse 6, he said, be strong and of a good courage. In verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And in verse 9 again, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. What good words. You know one reason some people don't do? Is because they're too weak. It takes strength to do. I was reminded of that in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 when David gave his son Solomon the pattern for the temple building. And I'm impressed with these words from a father to his son. Among the things this ancient father gave in advice to his son, as recorded in 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 10, is, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Listen to these words. Be strong and do it. It takes strength to do it. That's why a lot of people don't do it, because they don't have the strength. They're too weak to do what needs to be done. He went on in verse 20 and said, be strong and of good courage and what? Do it. Are you strong enough to do it? To do what the Lord says needs to be done? I thought about some things that will help to increase our strength so we can do it. Commandment keeping will help us to be strong. What book in the Old Testament might you read to be impressed with that? How about the book of obedience, Deuteronomy? Do you recall these words in chapter 11 and verse 8? Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I keep you this day, listen, that ye may be strong. What is it that would cause you to be strong? Keeping all the commandments. If you don't keep all the commandments, you're keeping yourself from strength that you need to do what needs to be done. Second thing that will help us to increase our strength is the Lord's Word. Without the Word of the Lord, we're weak. In Psalm 119 and verse 28, it is written, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. So I said, I need strength. Help me to be strong. I give you the Bible and encourage you to read it. I don't know of any greater source for spiritual strength, do you, than this book. In addition, Christ strengthens us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Sometimes I try to encourage people to do some things I think they're capable of doing, and they say, I can't do that. I just can't. If you think that way, you won't. You'll never do it. You got to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Christ gives us strength that we need. In Romans 15 and 1, Paul said, we that are strong. Let me ask you, does that describe you? We that are strong. This book often appeals to Christians to be strong. In 1 Corinthians 16, final chapter in Paul's 1 Corinthian letter, he gave these outstanding admonitions in verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Christianity is not for a weakling. It takes strength to be faithful. That's why in Ephesians 6, when Paul talked about the need to put on the whole armor of God, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's Ephesians 6:10. He wrote Timothy, and all evangelists need to be reminded of this. 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're going to preach, you've got to be strong. But not only do we need to increase in learning and strength, how about joy? Could you increase in joy? I recall reading in the great book of Isaiah in chapter 29 in verse 19 where it is written, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord." How about you? Could you increase your joy in the Lord? I read it again in Isaiah, this time 65 and verse 14. "Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart." That's what we just did a little bit ago, wasn't it? I like that expression, joy of heart. Let me ask you, do you have joy of heart? Do you? Or could you increase your joy? Somebody said, "You just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know." I don't have to. But I know of some things that folks in this book have gone through and they still had joy. And I learned from that that joy of heart is not based on physical outward circumstances. Take Habakkuk, for example. You remember reading in the book of Habakkuk and how that in chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, he said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls." What do you say then? "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." You know, a lot of people walking around, there's no blossom on the fig tree. They'd be moping along. What's the matter with you? How come you're in such a bad mood? How come you're so down? There's no fruit in the vines. How come you're all sad and acting like you're miserable? The labor of the olive failed. How come you're such a grump? The fields yield no meat. Right? How come you so down on life? The flock's cut off from the fold. What's the matter with you? No herd in the stalls. A lot of people look at things from an outward physical standpoint and they don't have any joy. Joy is a choice. He said, "Yet I will rejoice. I will joy." I like that. I hope to be like that. I try to emulate that. Read the Philippian letter. It's one of the prison epistles. And count the number of times in those four chapters when Paul uses the word joy or rejoice in some form or another. I hope I could be like that. Maybe we need some things to help increase our joy. How about the fact that we have a Savior? That don't do it. I don't know what will. In Luke 2, 10, 9 and 10, he said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Not just joy, great joy, which shall be to all people. That includes you and me today. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The fact that we have a Savior ought to put a smile on your face. Increase your joy. I'll tell you something else that'll do it. Repentance. Some people rob themselves of joy by not being in a right relationship with the Lord. I read where in heaven, joy shall be over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Luke 15, 7 and 10. Not only does it bring joy in heaven, it brings joy to the heart of the sinner who repents. Something else that will help increase our joy is worship. I always feel better after I've been to worship. How about you? In Luke 24 and 52, it says they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You know, sometimes there are those who think, and maybe they are, but they think they're in too bad a shape, maybe, to worship. You may feel better. Just like when they worshiped, returned with great joy. The Lord's word will bring joy. It'll help increase your joy in John 15 and in verse 7. The Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Isn't that a great blessing? And he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. 7 and 11. Make that connection between the Lord's words and joy. Being full of joy. To increase our joy, we need to increase attention given to the Lord's word. Answered prayer ought to increase our joy. In John 16 and verse 24, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Preaching brings us joy. Acts 8:8. Remember when Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them? Verse 5, what happened as a result of that? There was great joy in that city. Acts 8, 5 and 8. To increase our joy, we ought to increase preaching. It's like Paul one time said, Christ is preached and I therein rejoice. Ought to be joyful. We've got a young man like Nicholas that wants to preach the gospel and doing a fine job of it. Given all the attention that he does to study, that brings me a lot of joy to know that there's a generation coming along that wants to just tell it like it is. Conversions ought to fill us with joy. Doesn't it increase your joy to hear folks being converted? Like Acts 15 and verse 3, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, they cause great joy unto all the brethren. We need more of that. Walking in truth increases my joy. John penned in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That brings me a lot of joy. To know that my children walk in truth. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is among other things joy. And I read in Acts 13 and verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy. I wonder, had he been writing about you and me, would he have said that? The disciples were filled with joy. The Lord make you to increase in joy. Another area, we need to increase our faith. Maybe we would say, like those in the book of Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. And one time Paul wrote the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15, and he mentioned when your faith is increased, what's happening to your faith? Some people's faith is decreasing. It's going down. It's not going in the right direction. It needs to go up. It needs to increase. And that comes by hearing, you remember? Hearing what? The word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So to increase our faith, we need to increase our hearing of the word of God. It's so important that we do that because we need to have a strong shield to reflect and deflect all the fiery darts of the wicked. When Paul talked about that in Ephesians 6 and 16, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. His darts are fiery darts. They're particularly dangerous and destructive. And without the proper shield, you won't be able to quench them. It takes the shield of faith. Faith is the victory we sing. And that's because John said in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. You know what that is? Even our is your faith strong enough to be victorious? The Lord make you to increase your faith. For without it, you can't please God. Hebrews 11:6. And these all died in faith. Remember the book of Hebrews chapter 11. To die in faith, we got to live by faith. We got to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So increase your faith. But also, we need to increase our knowledge. Our knowledge in this regard has to do with spiritual knowledge, our knowledge of God and His will. Some are increasing their knowledge, but not the right way. They're knowledgeable in this world and the things of the world. But Paul's prayer and desire for the Colossians was in Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, here's our word, in the knowledge of God. Not everybody has the right attitude about that. You try to encourage some people to study. Let's get together and talk about some things the Bible teaches. Come over to the house and let's have a Bible study. I'll come to your place and we'll talk about the Bible. They're not interested in that. But that's not a new problem. I read of those in Proverbs 1 and verse 29 of whom the Bible says they hated knowledge. That's sad, isn't it? You know, those people never know. They're not going to increase knowledge if they hate it. You got to seek it. Like Proverbs 2, 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Not everybody finds it because they don't have the proper attitude toward it. They don't see the value of it. They don't regard it as silver, as hid treasures, and they don't seek after it. Knowledge is rather to be received than choice gold. Proverbs 8 and verse 10. The prudent are crowned with knowledge. Got that crown on your head? Proverbs 14, 18. And I know you're aware of the fact that one of the contributing factors to the downfall of Israel, as reported in the book of Hosea, lack of knowledge. And it'll destroy today. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Twice in this book, Paul makes appeal to Christians to be filled with knowledge. Romans 15, 14. Filled with all knowledge. And Colossians 1 and in verse 9. We're to abound in knowledge. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. We're to add it. It's among the faith additions. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And we're to grow in it. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of you who are attending Bible study on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and are filling out the material are increasing your knowledge. Those of you who are present for worship on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and pay good attention to the sermons that are preached, as you're doing right now, are increasing in knowledge. And those of you who do your own reading and study outside of the services of the church, study to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15, are increasing in knowledge, and we commend you for it. But also, the Lord make you to increase your love. Could your love increase? The text with which we started this study makes this appeal. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. That's a good way to say it, isn't it? You think the Lord wants our love to be on the up? He said increase and abound. In love toward who? One another, and all men. We need a pandemic of that. One another. That's one of the things the Lord talked about so frequently. Like John 13, 34 and 35. That you love one another as I have loved you. And he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. That's one of the things that identifies us as the disciples of the Lord. The love that we have for one another. And it's to be fervent love, unfeigned love, as Peter described it very beautifully in the first epistle in chapter 1 and in verse 22. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it is written, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." Can't have enough of that, can we? And he said, toward all men. Remember the second commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Be a lot more pleasant place to live, wouldn't it? Think of what would happen overnight if everybody started living that way. Living in love. Love one toward another. The newspaper headlines, the news headlines on television, they'll be different, wouldn't they? You wouldn't hear of the things that are being reported today. All of the evils that take place in this world be solved overnight, wouldn't it? If folks would just increase and abound in love toward all men. We need more of that. But also, the Lord make you to increase the body. The body needs to be increased. We're talking about the Lord's body, the church. It's the appeal of Paul in Ephesians 4 and verse 16 when he said, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love." Too many bodies are on the decrease. The Lord wants His body to increase. And read Ephesians 4 to see how that works. How does the body increase? Well, one way is through involvement. If you'd like to see this body increase, you need to be involved. Somebody said, I'd like to see the body increase. I'd like to see the church grow, but don't count on me to do anything. You're not helping the body to increase. You're promoting its decrease. You need to be involved to the extent that you're able to do that. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul said, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." One great way to help the church increase is to be involved in its work. Other areas from Ephesians 4 is to have the right attitude. From those first three verses, you need to be lowly and meek and long-suffering and forbearing and loving and unity endeavoring. You need to have the right attitude toward these singular truths. There's one. You can't compromise any of those. You got to keep the church true to its work. Perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. How you live also affects increase of the body. You got to walk worthy. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Not as others. Chapter 4 and verse 17. Not as you used to. Chapter 4 and verse 22. Takes the right life. A lot of things factor into that. And then one more area. The Lord make you to increase in number. The church needs to increase numerically. I read this great progress report in Luke's record of Acts 16 and verse 5 when he said, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." What a great statement. Churches increased in number daily. I wonder why that happened. Do you? Read the book of Acts and you'll know why. You'll know what happened. The Lord added to the church daily. Acts 2:47. One reason for that is there was daily evangelism. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple. And in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They got the seed out of the barn and put it in the soil. We need more people doing that. Going everywhere, preaching the word. Acts 8 and verse 4. Churches increased in number. We've got churches today decreasing in number. I've held meetings in places where at one time they had hundreds of people. Just recently, not too long ago, there was a church that I said, how many people are attending here? He said, about 30 of us. Said it, and it's a big auditorium. From here about out to the road. You know, in places like that, there'll be somebody sit back on the back row way back there. I thought about doing that. And saying, I can't see. I can't see what's on the screen. Anyway, we don't have that problem here. But there's some places that there's folks like that. Sit on the back and complain that I can't see. But anyway. How many folks did you used to have? Over 300. 300. And now just a handful or more just rattling around in a building. That's sad. Church is decreasing. The Lord make you to increase in number. Acts 6:1 talks about when the number of the disciples was multiplied. In verse 7, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Acts 11 and in verse 21 continues that when the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Number. What promoted that? Preaching the word, Acts 11 and verse 19. Preaching the Lord Jesus, verse 20. That's what it takes for the number to increase. Hope that's valuable to you. That's our desire. The Lord make you to increase in all these areas. You can help the number to increase this afternoon by obeying the gospel. The Lord will add you to the number of the saved. Would you hear his word? Believe it and obey it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized into Jesus Christ. And be faithful as you strive to increase in all these areas. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. You haven't been increasing. Things are on the decrease in your life. You need to get moving in the right direction. You're on the decline. You need to be on the incline. You're either going forward or you're going backward. And you examine yourself and you find changes need to be made. Would you have the courage to say, I have sinned? It takes a real man, a real woman to say those words. I have sinned. It takes a good and honest heart. Really what it takes. And if that's you today, would you say that? We'll be happy to pray for you. As you appeal to the blood, there's nothing but the blood that can wash away sins. And we urge you to come by the blood of Jesus as together we stand and sing.